Hopefully we'll start also as well, when we finish the Mizmar Chaf days, and we'll try to start Mizmar Chaf Gimel. Chaf Gimel is probably the most popular, the most well-known,
Absolutely.
Mizmar in the entire Tehillim. Okay, well, before we get there...
Certainly, there was a time when most Goyim were very familiar with it.
Yes, so Rabbi Eliezer, leader friend, told me that when he was a student in a Pavel school...
Yeah, when I was in Pavel school, I was in third grade Pavel school. He used to say this song. My teacher, her name was Mrs. Waldrich, and I think she was a very religious Goyim. Very, very religious woman. And we said it every single morning. And I just told Rabbi Levine, there was one thing I never understood about it. We used to always be, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So I said, well, if you don't want it, I mean, what's so big about it?
It's very funny.
I had to learn it in French in high school.
Yeah? Okay, let's begin. Okay, let's move over here.
What you going to start off with the Goyim?
Yes, that's what we're going to do. I want to finish now Mizmar Chaf Beis. Before we begin Mizmar Chaf Gimel, I want to finish one with Mizmar Chaf Beis, and that is the end of this Radak. Radak, page 207. Page 207, Yovo V'Yagidu Tzidkoso. Now, to recap, okay, so unfortunately, I'm not always too prepared. When we don't, every day we end up doing a little slice. We only touch upon a small slice of each Mizmar, and that's problematic because the beauty of the Mizmar really is in the whole picture. It's in witnessing the entire picture in one shot. And Mizmar Chaf Beis, as we learned, Keli Lama Zaftani. Okay, we had many different approaches to understand the Mizmar. And many of the commentators, and probably what's very, very popular today, is looking at Mizmar Chaf Beis as a reference to the story of Purim. It's the Purim story. It's Esther, and Esther Hamalka when she entered into the Chotzer HaPenimis to beg Achashverosh to save the Jewish people, to nullify the decree. And you can read the entire Mizmah from beginning to end,
yes,
in that light, in referring, in uncovering different elements in the story of Purim. Okay, that every single pasuk then has to be understood against that backdrop. Now we have done that, not done that, and go back and forth because it's not the only way to learn the Mizmah. You learn the Mizmah, there's general Mizmah. David over here is just the describing his different struggles in life, battles, difficulties in life, and it's not in another dimension. It's not referring to the story of Purim, and would really and here, unfortunately, the Goyim, the Neitzrim, the Christians have abused this Mizmar, and they have taken it and they have used it to refer to their God. Now, in other words, we see the Radak. This, I mean, will be a very controversial Radak, because the Radak does this pretty often, where he says that, oh, I know what obviously the Radak must have had a lot to do with the Goyim, the Christians, a lot of debates. This was a very big thing, the disputations between the Jews and the Christians, and how the Christians abused Tanakh. And their claim was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned, has replaced the Jews with the Christians, and many of the Pesuk Menach illustrate that point. Of course, everything is pure, unadulterated apikorsis, and they would distort the Pesukim all over Tanakh, and Tehillim was one of their favorites, and the Radak came to defend the authenticity of our Mesorah and the Sheker, and to highlight the Sheker of these Christians. I don't know the history, but certainly, obviously, he must have been the major figure in this war, this battle to knock out the Christians. And in this Radak, he really goes to town. Let's see. Your Pasuk Lamed Beis on page 207. Yovahu v'yagidu tzidkoso ha'oyle me'agolus. It was just, he winds down the derech pshat before he goes into a long discussion. Ha'oyle me'agolus, that those people that will return from Golus, referring to us, okay, this refers, you want to learn Pshat, reference to the Bayis Sheni, possibly, those who came out, came who returned to the Bayis Sheni, and,
or
the far future today, referring to us, us who are witnessing the renaissance of Eretz Yisrael, those that come up from Golus, sheyavohu mikol afse Eretz, yagidu tzidkaso le'am sheyu noyla mehem. And this nation, this generation, will declare Hashem's righteousness to the next generation. And okay, the new generation is not aware of the miracles. They're not aware of the incredible things that have happened. And the new generation has to be taught. There's an obligation.
That's
an obligation,
so relevant.
Extremely relevant. Some people, like, you know, there's some horrible stories. I remember this many years ago, there was a horror story circulating all over the news where a young boy was in shul and he saw an elderly man putting on tefillin, and he saw a tattoo on this person's arm, which was obviously a number from the Holocaust. He was a survivor from the Holocaust, from Auschwitz, and it was, he was branded with a number on his skin in the makam where he put tefillin. And this boy was so thoroughly ignorant, a regular yeshiva boy was so thoroughly ignorant that in Auschwitz they branded every prisoner, not every, not 95% of them, with numbers on their arm.
The two people they didn't brand the people who went to work for the Zonder Commando in the crematorium, because they knew they would get rid of him every couple of weeks, and when they came, the Hungarians came in the masses, they didn't bother. They just
didn't have time. They were too busy killing them. So this boy, he told this fellow, what are you doing here? It's a chatzitza. You have over here a mark, or you have over here a chatzitza, and you can't put on the tefillin. And the ignorance was earth-shattering. And this story made its rounds all over the world. I think this thing contributed to an awareness of how important it is to teach and to educate the next generation about what happened in the Holocaust, and by extension, Jewish history. Okay, Jewish history.
You can say the same for today's youth.
For sure.
So little about how Eretz Israel came, how the state of Israel came to be, whether it's in yeshivas or even in the modern schools. It's appalling what they don't know.
Exactly, it's appalling. That's the word. The word. You hit the nail on the head. It's appalling. That's a great word. It's appalling what the situation is. The Radak, all of the great people, all of them, Bli Yotze Min HaKlal, were students of history. You can't even travel Dalet Amos in the world of Torah without having a deep appreciation and knowledge, a profound knowledge of Jewish history to get anywhere in Limud HaTorah. And Radak just summarizes this principle over here in the words over here, Yavo Yagid Tzidkaso Ha'ilu Me'agol Sheyavo Mikol Afsi Eretz Yagidu Tzidkaso Le'am Sheyi Yenelu Mehem Kolema Levneim Yagidu Tzidkaso She'osu Lechem Ki Him Lo Rohu Es Kol Maaseh Hashem HaGadol Asher Osei Imam. The children, the truth is, what do you want from these kids? What are they supposed to know? It's the parents' fault. What are the kids supposed to know? How do they know? They never saw it. They don't know from nothing. They come into this world and they're surrounded by an environment, a society that worships the present and the pleasure and games and entertainment. It's the avaysam higidu lohem. It is the role of the parents to tell them. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. The zera yavdenu yisuper lahashem lador. The zera yavdenu means the previous generation who has served Hashem. They have the duty yisupar to relate, to give over lahashem the miracles that Hashem have done in this world, Ladar to the next generation. He learns with Ladar, like the next generation, going further ahead. Okay, now, I mean, Yavov Yagidu Vitzkasa, and the Pasuk Lama Beis, it's really the Pasuk Lama Beis, I really put the wrong Pasuk, Lama Beis, the same idea, this repetition. Yavohu Vyagidu Tzidkaso, they will come, the generation, the survivors, and they will relate the righteousness of Hashem la'am noilod to the new generation. Ki also what Hashem has done, the miracles of Hashem, the fact that we are still here today, we are survivors. Every one of us is a survivor. We're all survivors because our enemies wanted to kill every single one of us. Throughout the generations, our enemies now want to see our existence. And al pi derech hateva, they had much more power than we, and they should have been successful. And the only reason why every single Jew is alive today is only because the Yad Hashem has selected, handpicked, that we should be in existence today. That's the way it is. It's just we've been handpicked to exist today in this world due to Hashem's rachmanis. Now, after that, now that we have concluded the pshat in this mizmor, the radak, he now goes off on one of his pet peeves. V'zeh ha-mizmor perishu oisoi ho-arelim. Who are the arelim? This probably was censored. Okay, it probably originally said what it says in the brackets, ha-noitrim. This mizmor, it was interpreted falsely, corruptly by the Christians. Al-Yeshu, on Yeshu. Now he's giving over here, it's very, very fascinating because he's giving us over here. When I prepared this not too well, a lot of things over here I don't understand because I don't understand the story. I don't understand the theology. I don't understand exactly all the details. But the truth is, I'm not unique in this matter because there is truly an enormous amount of information that has been lost to the world, not just to us, but to the Ummah Sa'ilam, exactly play by play what has happened. Who is Yeshu? Who is, when exactly did he live? How many Yeshus are there? Are there two Yeshus? Two different eras? Are there three Yeshus? What is the timeline? The calendar has been manipulated. The Christians themselves destroyed records, destroyed information, because they knew that if we had access to the truth, it would disprove and reveal an enormous degree of sheker. So okay, a lot of
not, oh.
So but the radak here, the radak over here in this section over here is definitely, it's an historical document. He's definitely revealing things that I think have been lost from the secular world, from the encyclopedia books and the history books. If you read the radak very, very carefully, and then you talk to an expert, a goy, a Christian, someone from the Vatican, who supposedly spends their whole life studying all of these things. I really wonder if in the Vatican they know about this radak, and the things that it says over here, what he says over here, what the Christian philosophy, what their theology really is, because he says what it is, and then he comes to reject it in very few words. Very bekits and nimrots.
I think they might have censored it more than it might have been.
Correct. And even what we have back, we have retained, it could be that it's not all. That's why it could be that it's very hard to read this section because, like I told you, I'm not just going to run very quickly because I don't know what it means.
Give it a shot.
Let's see. So here he goes. So he says, Al Yeshu, Hu Misaper Al Haro'oi Sha'asu Lo Yisrael. And the way they understand, the way they read this mizmar is the one who is speaking. Okay, the one who is speaking according to their corrupt apikorosis is Yeshu. He is the author. We learned as we started this, the one who is the author is Esther. David, of course, David HaMelech, he wrote this. David is the author, but David wrote this mizmor al pi ruach hakodesh. David put himself in the shoes of Esther HaMalka and was her mouthpiece 500 years before she existed. Ruach HaKodesh, Nevuah. Well, the Notrim are doing the same thing in Apikorsis by putting David in the shoes of Yeshu.
Right.
And you know, that also changed the timeline that the Mizma was composed then according to, was composed 1500 years, Kamat. No, or 1,000 years before Yashka, something like that. 1,000 years before. And who's, so when it says to me, Kaili, Kaili, Lama Azaftani, so that's referring to Yashka. Yashka's making the statement.
Remember what I told you about that puzzle?
I don't know, what is it?
I told you. This is quoted in their Bible. They said, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabach Tani.
Sabach Tani.
Meaning the same thing.
Why do you abandon me? What? In which language is Sabach Tani? What is it? Latin?
It's supposedly in Aramaic, but in our, but if you look in our Targum, you don't see the same translation. But this is directly, and they know it.
Of course, it's also
that it's quoted as him saying that in their Bible.
So let's see. So over here it says. And he is complaining in this mizmor about how he has been tortured by the Jews. And he cries out, "Habein laov," the son to the father, crying out to God. He's the son of God. He's called in their terms the son of God. What's the term? Immaculate Conception?
Yeah.
What is immaculate? What does that
immaculate.
Mean?
Immaculate.
Pregnant
mean?
Without
clean.
Any...
Clean.
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 Clean. Pure.
Pure conception. Immaculate. Oh, immaculate. Pure. Clean. A clean conception. Immaculate conception. V'utsoik ha-bein lov, the Yoshka is the son. He calls out to God, who is there for his father. Mitoich kol ha-tzaris. And he says, Keili, keili, lo mi-azavtani. V'chein kol ha-mizmar. Vishibshu, so now here he comes over here to say that this is corrupt, and he proves every single thing that they say about this mizmar is total nonsense, total garbage. Vishibshu milas koari yodai viragloi. Now, when we learned those words, if you remember, we had a few perushim, I think three or four perushim as to what those words mean. We learned it means that Klal Yisrael is the subject, the emes of pshat. And we are attacked by a lion. A lion is worse than a dog. There was a dog, and then there was a lion. A dog just bites, but the bite does not break the bone. A lion is not satisfied by biting. A lion actually crushes the bones. Okay, that was one interpretation. Another interpretation that we learned was that David says, "I'm fearless. I'm fearless that my yodai viragloi, even though my enemies torture me, they bring upon, they try to put me down. I'm fearless. I am strong. My hands and my feet are like a lion." So he writes over here, they took these words, Milas Kari Yodai Braglai, Amru, they said, Amru Karu Lashon Ki Yichri Ishbar. Now, you see, now there's over here, when it says Vishibashu, I don't, a lot of these things, I really don't know what it means. I tried to compare a little bit. I think, as like
no,
you said,
interpreted the word
Ari,
and they said ki yichre, meaning dig into.
Ki yichre, they learned to dig.
It means, in their interpretation, it means
koru.
It means to dig into.
To dig, okay.
Words.
They dug in into my yodai v'raglai, the crucifixion.
Crucifixion.
Crucifixion. They put him on a piece of wood, which
it
looks like
fiction.
Which is a cross. What?
It is fiction.
They put him on a piece of wood. So Kuari Yodai V'raglai, when we spend so much time learning what this means, they learn this, that this refers to the crucifixion. The crucifixion, a piece of wood, it's a tzelem, the cross, and they had some nails. Okay, there's certain types of, I don't know which hardware store they went to by the nails. A lot of jokes. There are a lot of jokes. The nails, there are 100 jokes about the nails. The nails that they used, to use, and kwari means they koru means to dig, which means to bang, to insert the nails into his hands and feet on a piece of wood, the crucifixion. Amru karu loshon ki yichre ishbar shetaku, they insert it, they thrust. Masmerois biyadav raglav ki shetalu oisai. When they killed him, when they hung him up.
By the way, in our language, the word is saliva.
Saliva.
That means crucifixion.
Crucifixion. So what is it? Sole means a cross.
Right.
The saliva. Okay. So here, this is an incredible word. Kuari yodai v'raglai. Over here, this is in Tehillim is the Christian lingo, the Christian theology here today. Is they took this pasuk kuari yodai v'raglai, they interpret the author is Keli Kelim Zatani is Yoshka, and Yoshka is complaining about how he was tortured. And one of the things that it says this mizmar is Kari Yodai V'raglai, which we translated over here like a lion. And the only question was, who is the subject? Is the lion the enemy that has devoured the Jewish people by breaking their bones, or is the lion Klal Yisrael, and it's an expression of chizuk, of fortification, that we're not afraid of them. We're not deterred. And they, the Christians, they, in their apikorsis, they say the words kari doesn't mean a lion, it means to dig. To dig, taku means to thrust, to bang, to insert nails into my hands and my feet, the crucifixion. Amu, karu lashon kiyichu ishbar, shetaku mas menois biyodav raglav, uche shetalu oiso, when they hung him up. The hita oisim apas, another mistake that they made. The nafshol lo chiyah, the amu kiyichu zeh, and they said, and that pasuk, and his soul did not live, will not live. Yomru ki hu ze Eloah sheyichru lefanav, and they said, that means that there's another. This pasuk here, it seems, I'm assuming, means that the apocryphal that they said that they're gonna kill him. But nafshol, they did not allow him to live. They put him to death. Next, the another mistake they made. Ki hu ze Eloka sheyichru lefanav. It says they call Yordi Ofar.
Why
Eloka? Eloah, right. Eloah, you're right. Eloah. Eloah matik hey. Elo and hey with a patach and a dadin means first comes the aleph. This is basic grammar. First is the aleph and then is a hey. Eloah, like bet midrash givoah. Lakewood, right? Lakewood is Bet Midrash Govoah. So here it's Lis Mamea Noach. How do you say Noach? You don't say Nocha. You say, first comes an Aleph. Noach. First is an Aleph, then you end off with the Ches. Anytime you have a Patach at the end of a word, there's always an aleph. An aleph, and then comes the letter that is mentioned. So you have govoah. The hey at the end, first is an aleph, then there's the hey. If it's a matik hey, you gotta go do it stark. Govoah. Okay? Noach. Eloah. Next. Ze Eloah. Sheyichu lefonav. They said that they interpret this. Next. Okay, so there are already three mistakes. Kwari yoda raglai. It's not so good we should spend so much time on this. Okay, then Nashalochia is they're gonna kill him. Next, Amukihu Eloah Shayichu Lufanov Kol Yardi Afar. That the last pasuk. The last pasuk it says the day is gonna come, the whole world's gonna bow down before him. The whole world, Yichru Kol Yardi Afar, the whole world will humble themselves before him. Now here's this thing. The Radak is revealing Christian theology. This is very scary to learn this in the Radak. See, this probably must be one of the reasons why the Hasidim don't. It's very disturbing. I never realized this until very recently. To what degree Hasidim reject the learning of Nach? I thought Torah is Torah. Holy works, so you know, whatever. No, they mamish, you know what I'm saying? So they mamish, go out of their way to reject it, to be dafka, not learn it.
Why?
I don't know why. The different theories why. Okay, the common men will tell you because of the masculine, which is not true. It's a very naive answer because the masculine was such experts in Nach. So because this is what the masculine focused on, so that's not the MS. There's something about Nach that I don't know. There's something that they really it's not their thing. Not just okay, you know, we don't spend time on it. The mamish, no, you don't learn this. This is something you bedafka don't learn. That's how it is. They mamish, they put like mushroom, many shuls, they put on someone they would never buy a Zohar, most shuls, most libraries. They would never buy. I remember my father's shul. Right, they would buy us. They wouldn't spend a penny to go buy a Zohar in the Young Israel. Who's interested in learning Zohar? You learn the basics. So someone comes and donated this five-star, very expensive, massive set of Zohar with a perished 20 volumes. So where do you think they put it?
The basement.
All the way up. Mama, you can't read. They don't even have a ladder in the shul that's tall enough to get that high in the shul to get to it. Because that's not what you learn. You know, they do that with Nach. They put the Nach all the way on the top.
Zohar says you're not supposed to learn it until you get to
the... So they take Nach, they put a mamash on the top, so you can't even read it. There's something. So I know every time, you know, you come to a Radak, you begin to wonder, maybe this is part of the reason why. Because, you know, the Nach goes back to the third, this goes to the parish of Radak. What is it, the 13th century? Is this the 13th century, the 14th century? When did the Radak was something like that, the 13th century? This goes back, way, way back. And I can, you can appreciate it. Not everyone is so happy that you should spend so much time learning Pesukim, which by the Christians, it was common, this the Pesach. And now the Radak has to come to defend. Not everyone is safe. You don't want to delve into this. But today this doesn't appear to be much of an issue. Going back, let's finish over here. So he goes into theology. And the theology over here is, why, if Yoshko was a god, so why didn't he save himself? Why didn't he save himself? If he is God, the Son of God, and he can walk on water, and he can do all these miracles and heal everyone, so in a couple of Yidlach come over to him and want to go and capture him and kill him, so...
It's an oxymoron. A god dying is an oxymoron.
Exactly. So what happened to him? He became a weakling? The Jews were able to overpower your god like nothing? Why? Oh, so now they have to come up with this outrageous lie. The reason why he died, he went al kiddush Hashem. He did it for a purpose. That's what he explains over here. You know what I mean? They twist every time you it's like politics, American politics. Every time you show a major, major flaw, oh, that's a mayim. You turn every chesaron into a mayim. It's krum. It's just sheker. And here he goes on. He didn't want to let himself live. Why? Ki b'tnai ze yorad lokachas basar. It was with this, and he really going deep here into philosophy. It was with this condition that he went down. He took on a body for himself. This god took on basar, which means he put his
human form.
Shayahargu ha basar. That the basar should be killed. V'yivashu bazeh yoredei gehenim, and those that go down to him will be spared. I don't even know what this means over here.
Lefichach, say, die for our sins.
That's okay. So you're saying Ramchol knows the theology very well. He, by him dying in the guf, he's going to save everyone. Lefichach
loyratzel. Which, by the way, I was shocked when I first found this out. It's a Jewish concept about tzaddikim.
Misa Sadiq is Mechaper.
Misa
Mechaper on the generation.
That's right. So they ripped off that concept.
Yeah, but again, they are okay. Loirots lahachi lahachi asnafsha. Ela mosar atzma biyata horgimoso. He delivered himself. Viatra now. Yishmul oznam. Masha pimidaber. Now the Radak is coming over here to attack. Now he's going on the offense. This is total nonsense. This is garbage. And you go and you take these and you read these ideas into this mizmar to say that the author is Yoshka, and Yoshka is speaking and he's complaining about the Jews who are killing him, and he deliberately chose not to live but to die. It's nonsense. Heim oimrim, they say, if he voluntarily decided to die. So what are you complaining about? Kaylee, Loma Azavtani, why did you abandon me? God didn't abandon you. You abandoned yourself. It's a steer, exactly. The Krumkai is just leave us off the page. But that's the derp of these crazy people. Every time you get them, no, you can't talk to them. You can't deal with these type of people because there's no logic. Their thinking is just corrupt. It's warped. He forgot his condition. It makes no sense. And then they're going to read the past that Yashka is complaining, why, Hashem, have you not answered me? According to your theology, Yashka took on the human form for the purpose of dying. He did not want to be answered. So it's a contradiction. If he is a god, Who atzmo Yoshia atzmo, he's going back, he should have saved himself, the Oyd Sha'amar, Tehilos Yisrael, later on it says, Tehilos Yisrael, Vehem Amreim, he calls it, the Pasuk says, the praises of the Jewish people. According to the Christians, there's nothing good about the Jews. Why does this Pasuk, why does the Jewish people, why they present it in the positive light as being the Tehilos Yisrael, that Vehem Amreim lo, but in their theology, the Jews are evil, they killed their God. Heyach amashay mehalalei mokel. V'yoy romar, it says in the Mizmor, b'cho in you, botru avoseinu, v'im hu k'mo shem oimrim lo hoyu loy ela av echad, in you, had faith, our forefather. So we learned that in the MS, is that Klal Yisrael, that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had faith in you, Hashem. Because in you, Hashem, David is coming to draw from Zuchus Ovos, the Zuchus Ovos that Klal Yisrael has always, we come from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They are our ancestors, and they had faith in you. But according to the Christian version of this Mizmar, they totally reject Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's not part. They replaced us, so they have no connection to the Avos. So the only father that can possibly be is God. That Yoshka is the son of God. So what does it mean over here? How do they translate the word Avoseinu in the plural? According to them, in their theology, you'll never hear about Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. Is that correct, Rabbi Chol?
Just the stories are,
because that's old. That's the old. Stories. That's gone. But that's not part of their religion. So this pasuk makes absolutely no sense according to that. Because every time you talk about a father,
It's irrelevant
to that. And every time there's a mention of a father, the father cannot possibly be Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. It refers to God. So why then in this pasuk is it in the plural? He's the God. He's calling himself a worm. In their theology, according to the MS, the truth, referring to David is calling himself a worm. Right. Esther is calling herself a worm. Humility. Right. But according to them, this whole mizmor is about him, Yashka. Yashka's a worm? The God is a worm? The God is a talas v'loyish? You hold yourself to be God?
Or at least
Mashiach. Talas another vihine omar, goil el Hashem yifale tehu, v'yatzileyu, that goil el Hashem means to, we translate it to me like Lashon of Gilgal, which means to inch your way, to crawl, to return to Hashem by drawing near to Hashem, yifaleteu, and Hashem will rescue him. That was the Pshuta Shel Mikra according to our understanding. The im al habasar hinei loy piltohu v'lo hitzilohu. But if you're referring over here to their theology that Yoshka took on a human form, and he wanted to die. He wanted to die, so what's the word yifaleteu? What rescue is there? There is no rescue. He's claiming, complaining about his death. The im al habasar, the human form of this God, hinei loy piltohu v'lo hitzilohu. The im al ho'elohu lo hayotzor chatzola. There are two parts to Yashka. There is the God, the soul, the spiritual element, and then there is the body. So with regard to the spiritual element, it doesn't need to be saved. It stands on its own. And with regard to the physical form, he voluntarily gave himself over to die. That's part of their theology. I came to this world in order to die, to take the hit for all of you, to suffer on your behalf. So you don't want to be saved. You want to come, according to your theology, you want to come into this world. You want your spirit to come into the world, to take on a human form and to suffer, and through the suffering that will atone for all of humanity. But if that is correct, then why then in this mizmor is there a plea, a desperate plea for a person to be spared? According to you, the spiritual element does not need any salvation, and the physical element, the physical element, you don't want to be spared. You want it to suffer, so there should be salvation. The Omar, Ki ata goichi, you have drawn me out. Hu atzmo hu hamotzi o mi beten. So what does it mean over here that we read that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he pulled, David is speaking, and David says, you pulled me out of my mother's womb. Goichi means to draw out. According to their theology, Yoshko himself drew himself out. He had no need to come into this world. He came into this world in order to save mankind. So he voluntarily entered and he pulled himself out of his mother's womb. He is the God. He is the God. He came into this world and he himself came forth. So what does it mean? You, Ata Goichi. The Omar, Asapra, I will relate, Shimcho, your name, Le'echoy, to my brethren. Brethren? If Yashka is speaking God, how many gods are there? Pantheon. There's no pantheon here. These are not the ancient people who worship multiple gods. Yashka, he's the only God. So what do you mean to my brethren? If you're a God, who are your brothers? Who are your brothers? How many brothers and sisters do you have? Yashka. Makes no sense. V'hu alohai in loyachen. Hine kozov. This whole thing is one big lie. One big lie. Ki hasipor v'hahalal v'hahoidah achar ha'atzolahu. The sipor, the giving over and the praise and the hoidah comes after salvation. V'hine hu lo nitzal. At the end of the mizmor, the last few psukim describe how we are going to,
everybody,
we're going to praise Hashem, we're going to be mesaper, we're going to give halal, we're going to, salvation comes after, praise comes after salvation. There was no salvation for Yashka. He died, he was killed, he voluntarily decided to die. The Omar called Zer Yaakov Kabedu, the Guru Mimenu called Zer Yisrael, Ki loy vozo v'loshikatz enus oni, the Yisrael, how come here could he say such nice things? That the Zera Yaakov is going to give him honor, they're going to be afraid of him, and Hashem does not despise and detest the humiliation of the Ani. What are you talking about? Why over here is he saying such nice things about the Jews when the Jews are the ones that killed him, and the Jews are the evil people in the world? The Yisrael, heim hamereim loy, ba'anoisoy. So they probably want to say is that Hashem is not going to despise and detest the enus, the humiliation of the poor man. Yashka, they believe that the subject of enus oni is Yashka. And Hashem will not despise and detest his humiliation. That's not the way it happened. We did despise and detest him. When he was in a vulnerable state, he was killed and he was humiliated. It's a lie. And what does it mean over here? It's not true. According to their understanding of what happened, the sequence of events, this whole pasuk is total nonsense. Doesn't make any sense. Heim hamrim lo banoso and boza ho'av, and they did despise him. V'shikets v'hister ponav mimenu, Hashem did reject him and did detest him because he was killed. Uveshava ilav lo shama. Hinei kol devot of sheker. And thus, the bottom line is, every single pasuk in this mizmar, their interpretation is clearly, clearly false. Sheker. Just a collection of lies. So how then can it be that in this world there are 1 billion Christians? Okay, last I've read is an estimation that in this world there are 1 billion Muslims and 1 billion Christians. How in the world do they get away with such a lie? In every dimension of their religion is all built on lies. Deception, lies, cover-ups, and this total nonsense. And yet they get away with it. The whole world gets away with it.
They say the hardest thing is to be a liar. Then, because you have to have a good memory.
All the lies, 100%.
Each time you're trying to spin it in your favor of your
life. I know it firsthand.
I wasn't telling you the
truth. I know it firsthand. It's really true.
Rav Dovid Cohen, when he explains different Yiddish expressions. So he explains the expression, Nishkefleugen.
You know what does that mean?
As referring to Yeshu. He did stand up and he didn't fly.
Ooh. Nishkehagen, you didn't stand?
They say he rose up after 3 days.
Nishkehagen, Nishkefleugen. He never stood up and he never flied. It's a reference that Yashka is a total lie. It's incredible. The Radak over here spends over here a whole page on this whole chapter.
Yeah.
What kind of nonsense is this? They go and they preach in church, they read the Psalms, and they read, we read now from Psalm 22, and they read about Kaylee, Loma Azavtani.
What they're reading. It's certainly Catholics totally de-emphasize the Bible. It's more Protestants that actually do the Bible study. Since they were the original church, and, you know, they just gloss over our Bible, and, you know.
It's politics.
They discourage study.
Okay, so this whole thing is total nonsense. You know, what's very sad, though, is that today in America, Jews need them very much. They need a lobby together with them for our own safety and security, because they still believe in God.
You know something? When you see, it occurs to me that when you see Gerim who were Christians, they don't come from Catholic. They generally come from the Protestant ranks.
Why is that?
Because they've seen the Bible. Mm. And it dawns on them there's something wrong here.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Okay, so over here we have over here. Hine kol devarav sheker v'amar kol mishluchas goyim v'hine ha'yehudim v'yishmelim lo yaminu bo. It says over here that at the end of the day, the last part, towards the end, that all of the families of the world are going to believe in him. Baloney. The Jews never believed in him. And the Yishmaelim never believed in him. Look at what happened to the Crusades. There were 300 years of violent wars between the Christians and the Muslims. They killed each other out. The 300, and the Crusades are still going on. The Crusades have never ended. Still going on 1,000 years later, just in a different form. There's a war going on in this world of dominance between the Christians and Islam, Christianity and Islam. It's still going on. The violent part of that started in 1096, and that went on for 300 bloody years. There were approximately 10 crusades. Some of them were very minor, but some of them were major. The first crusade was a major. The second crusade, the third crusade was also Richard the Lionheart. Richard the Lion. How many movies were made over? I think that was the third crusade. If I'm not mistaken, maybe the second or the third. The first crusade affected Klal Yisrael the most, without question. That's the keynote of Tisha B'Av, was the first crusade, but the second and the third were pretty serious. And then there were another seven. Many of them were very minor, but there was plenty of damage done as well. And so basically, we've gone through the entire Mizmor, bits and pieces. The Radak really felt the need to go to town and to utterly shred and expose the big lie. The big lie, and it's so easy to see the nonsense, and yet the mystery is how in the world do they get away with the big lie? It's an incredible thing.
Marketing.
Big,
brainwashing.
It's an incredible thing how you get away with this.
The merchant was the first press agent.
Okay, that concludes Mizmor Chabez. Baruch Hashem, we include that Mizmor now. What we're going to do is we'll start briefly. We're going to start